can't bring everything out closer to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Trouble. Trouble.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Basics on CHRY 105.5 FM. This is Kabir here with Steve DeSilva and Dave Chin, just still to come in the radio station. We're here to bring you a special edition of Radio Basics. Right now is our CHRY fundraiser, the annual fundraiser. It's going for 2 weeks, this week and next week. And so please, we're asking people to call in 416-736-5656. That's 416-736-5656. Please call in to pledge your support to Radio Basics and CHRY. CHRY is a non-profit radio station. It doesn't receive funding from any big corporations, any big business. It receives funding from the community, from tuition. And so really, this is the only real source of funds CHRY has to continue to bring you programming like Radio Basics. This is the only way that we can stay on the air as a radio station. So please call in 416-736-5656.
Yes, thank you very much, Toronto, for listening to Radio Basics. We got another week and another very busy schedule up for us tonight. We're going to be talking to a number of community organization, Latino community organization here in Toronto by the name of Barrio Nueve. We're going to be speaking to some members of the organization and as well a project that they have right now called Frente Norman Bethune, which is an internationalist organizers project. We also have some very special guests from Venezuela who are going to be joining us in the studio here today. We have members of a rap group, Familia Negra, which is a black consciousness rap group in Venezuela. And we also have one of the leaders and organizers from the Homelessness People's Movement in Venezuela, a movement that goes by the name of Sin Techos. We're also going to be talking to Will Prosper from a leader in an organization or a movement, I guess we would call it, Akebir.
Yeah.
Republique Montreal North.
Montreal North Republic, which is a group that formed after the police killing of a young Latino unarmed teenager there back in August and the rebellion, the community rebellion that produced. So he's going to be coming on at 8:30, and we're also going to be discussing the very unfortunate election results, the election of the minority government of Stephen Harper.
That's right. We have another conservative government minority. I don't know which political party would have been better at this stage. It seemed like they were all seeing variations of the same thing. But what will be interesting to note over the course of this next minority government is how the political parties in opposition currently, if they continue to support conservative policies, which they could take down, which they could oppose, which was the case in the last federal government that we had, whereby the opposition parties continued to support very reactionary anti-people policies, whereby the NDP, the Liberals, the Bloc could have taken down the Conservatives multiple times on a number of issues, the federal budget issue, the war in Afghanistan, but they continued to support them and keep them afloat. So it'll be interesting to watch that over the next year, 2 years, 3 years. So we have with us in the studio today Barrio Nuevo, which is a Latino community organization here in Toronto, and our Venezuelan guests have now joined us in the studio. First, I'm going to introduce Pablo Vivanco from Barrio Nuevo. He's going to tell us a little bit about Frente Norman Bethune and the work they're doing here with the Venezuelans. Welcome, Pablo. What's up, man?
What's going on? How you doing?
Pretty good, bro.
So thank you for having us on the show. I'm joined here for the people just to introduce. I got my man Aja. Diga hola, pues.
Hey, para mi gente, ¿qué tal? Familia Negra represent.
Yeah. From Familia Negra. I got also a Scott.
¿Cómo está la gente en Toronto? Un placer estar acá y un gran saludo y un gran abrazo.
Also from Familia Negra, and to round off the Familia Negra crew, DJ Ancho.
Hola, habla Ancho de Caracas, Venezuela, y saluda a toda la gente de Toronto, Canadá.
And as well from the National Committee of the Homeless in Ruthless in Venezuela. I got Layo Gasquez.
Bueno, un saludo a toda la gente que nos escucha a través de esta emisora, a toda la gente de Toronto. Muchas gracias por la atención.
Bienvenidos, camaradas. Welcome, comrades. Thank you for being with us in the studio tonight. If I'm not mistaken, I believe some of our guests are going to be freestyling tonight. We're going to have a little DJing by DJ Ancho. We're going to be putting on some beats from Familia Negra. And we're also going to be talking about the situation in Venezuela and the exchange between Venezuela and Canada. So to take it away, Pablo from Barrio Nuevo, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Barrio Nuevo and the kind of work that you guys are doing.
All right. Very quickly, so that we can get on to the people that should be speaking, and we're also going to do that translation. Barrio Nuevo is a collective based out of Toronto. We do work in the Latino community, not exclusively, but that's our, I guess, our focus. Like, you know, for example, this work with Frente Norman Bethune, which I'll explain in a second, as well as a campaign that we've started to undertake in opposition to the policy of putting armed police in schools is something that transcends just the Latino community. Nonetheless, we work within the Latino community to try to create a mass organization to elevate the demands of the Latino community in order to have our needs, the things that the Latino community doesn't have. We are a working class, generally a working class community, that in this period of time, all working class communities are severely being affected by the period of neoliberalism and other economic political policies, which have been taking away the sort of social rights of the people. So we've been trying to, we have a number of different programs. We're utilizing media, culture, among other things, in order to serve as organizing tools for the community. And we work with other institutions of the community. Some of our programs is we run a free soccer program called the Corinthianos, named after the Corinthians soccer team in Brazil, which has a long history of political struggle and was founded by workers and peasants. We have also our own radio show on Radio Voces Latinas. This is 16:10 AM. Big ups, Radio Voces Latinas. Mm-hmm. And we work with, obviously, Radio Voces Latinas and the San Lorenzo Centro Comunitario. I already mentioned that one campaign. We've started some mural brigades in the community with some young Latino artists as well.
If I can just interrupt you, Pablo, for a minute. Right now, this week, this is Waves You Crave on CHRY 105.5. It's our annual fundraising drive. I'm just curious, a community radio station like Voces Latinas out of San Lorenzo there at Dufferin and Lawrence, how does it support itself? How does it keep itself going?
It is also a community radio station, just like CHRY, and the people should support community radio because this is the spaces where not only different viewpoints, alternative viewpoints are heard, but it's also a space where, for example, young artists are able to elevate themselves, like, because they're not going to get any radio play on the mainstream radio.
Yeah.
So it's something that is a beneficial thing to society as a whole and certainly to the people. How does Radio Voces Latinas maintain itself? Well, I got to tell you, believe it or not, a lot of it, most of it has to do with, grunt work. There's people in the community, that on the regular are doing fundraisers, mm-hmm. are finding ways of raising some money for the radio station, for example, selling pupusas.
So it's basically the work of the community, the strength of the people that's keeping this radio station going, Voces Latinas.
Oh yeah, there's absolutely no doubt. That radio station doesn't get any money from the government, no grants, no nothing. And so it has to rely upon the support of the community. And for a community that almost literally runs on pupusas, that's not too bad.
Well, just to let our listeners know that basically this is how CHRY keeps itself going. It's a campus community radio station supported by its listeners. And we're not able to put out the information we do without the support of our listeners, without the support of the community. So if you can please call in right now, we have phones on the standby waiting for your pledges. CHRY 105.5 has been going on for 20 years. We've been on the FM dial. We've been keeping democratic radio going. So if you can call in, the number is 416-736-5656. That is 416-736-5656. Call in right now. Make a pledge. Please keep our work going. So
big up your local radio. You gotta support community radio.
For real. So before we go on to the interviews with the Venezuelan guests we have in here in the studio today, I'm just gonna go to a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. All right, CHRY 105.5. This is Radio Basics. We're back in the studio. Things are popping off in here. We got Venezuela up in here. We got Barrio Nuevo. We got programmer David Chin. We got Kabir, another one of our hosts. We got a big studio here today. So, without further ado, we got Pablo. You're going to be talking to us about why these Venezuelans are up here. Can you tell us a little bit about Frente Norman Bethune and the work you guys are doing?
Yeah, so Frente Norman Bethune is kind of a project that we've begun out of Barrio Nuevo and including a number of different other groups. The idea being, Barrio Nuevo kind of has its roots in the World Festival of Youth and Students 2005. When about 150 youth from Canada, Quebec, First Nations went down to Venezuela for the World Festival of Youth, joining about 15,000-16,000 other students from all over the world, on a basis, on a platform of utilizing all of the different ways that we can, media, political involvement, all that sort of stuff to oppose imperialism, to fight for a world that's just, equal and peaceful. And on the way back, you know, we wanted to continue to support what we saw down in Venezuela, which is most def a social revolution. There's no doubt about it. And these cats over here are testament to that. So from our point of view, though, that solidarity stuff had to be rethought. So looking back, even on the history in these. In these lands, in the 1930s, there were brilliant examples of what internationalism can be, how we internationally can support one another. In the 1930s, and actually we just saw a monument of it today when we were walking around, the Mackenzie Papineau Brigades, which about 1,500 people from Canada went off to fight against fascism in the Spanish Civil War on the side of the Spanish people who were supporting and trying to uphold the democratic progressive government in those lands and away from fascism. One of the people that went along with that brigade was Dr. Norman Bethune here in York University. There's a college named after him. One of the first proponents of a national healthcare system. Brother also went off, obviously, as I just mentioned, to fight against fascism in Spain and later died performing surgery on the battlefield in China, fighting with the progressive communist forces there against Japanese imperialism. So taking that example, these cats are over here meeting with people, trying to promote the idea that, number one, solidarity and internationalism should be people to people, movement to movement. That's why they're here representing what's happening in Venezuela, because too often those things are left to, you know, functionaries and other things like that. Not to criticize, you know, any people in government particularly, but the thing is, we felt it was important for that movements themselves to be represented. That's one. Two, that here in Canada, we have a lot to learn from what's happening over there. There's a very obvious mass uprising, mobilization, education, and it really can, like, I mean, it seems to me like a kind of like cultural, social revolution that's really comprised among the work that's being done from below among the masses. So these cats are here representing that and going with the idea that people from here should go over there in order to learn the tactics and strategies that they're employing in their neighborhoods amongst their people, so we can bring pieces of that back here and hopefully start advancing a progressive social agenda to beat back what can only be described as about 50 years ongoing of just setback after setback for the things that were gained from the history of struggle from the first 50 years, I guess, of 40 or 50 years of struggle in this country in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe we can talk to some of our Venezuelan guests here today. I guess we have, let's talk to Familia Negra first before they get on the mics a little later. I guess one of the questions I would have as cultural workers, as artists, you can translate on the mic, yeah.
La pregunta es, él tiene una pregunta como trabajadores culturales.
As cultural workers, what is the relationship between your music, your cultural production, and the revolutionary struggle in Venezuela?
¿Qué ven ustedes? ¿Qué es la relación entre su trabajo y como artistas, como trabajadores culturales y la revolución en Venezuela?
Okay. Buenas noches.
Nosotros comenzamos en La Vega organizando eventos de hip hop.
We started out in La Vega, a neighborhood in Caracas, organizing hip hop events.
En donde las personas que participaban como cantantes también fueron participando como organizadores.
In that in a way that the people who were participating as MCs, as artists, were also participating as organizers.
Luego a la vez nos fuimos relacionando muy estrechamente con la comunidad.
Then from that we started having very strong relationships with the community.
Y esto dio como resultado que los grupos culturales, sociales y políticos llamar la atención de esos grupos y a la vez comenzar una articulación en estos últimos 9 años.
And from that, that ended up kind of solidifying or building the links between artistic, cultural, political, social workers in the community to articulate work for the last 9 years.
Donde también a la vez hemos organizado junto a estos grupos y esta articulación foros, teatro, cineforos y conciertos donde intervienen diferentes manifestaciones culturales de la parroquia La Vega, Caracas.
So through that they've working with people, there's been they've organized or the community's organized theater concerts, movie forums, all types of different events within the community of La Vega.
Indudablemente que esto influye sobre el nivel de conciencia de la población.
And this ends up bringing some influence or rather influencing these events end up influencing the consciousness of the people within this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Para resumir un poco lo que es nuestro trabajo y de que y eso crea es un trabajo revolucionario y comunitario a la vez.
And so just to kind of sum up this, that's kind of like a summation of some of their work, and their work is a revolutionary at the same time as community based.
Mm-hmm.
Sí,
va
a hacer alguna otra pregunta.
Al micrófono. ¿Tú quieres responder a eso?
Do you have a response as well?
No, bueno, más o menos de lo que dijo el compañero, si va a decir alguna otra pregunta.
Yeah, just, you know, he that Scott pretty much summed it up, so, you know, next question.
All right. So, you know, here in Canada, here in the North America, in the belly of the beast, so to speak, you know, we hear a lot of things about Chavez as being a dictator, as controlling everything, as completely, you know, being an authoritarian over the people. How does this characterization of the government that's currently in place in Venezuela relate to your actual experiences on the ground?
Aquí, como en la barriga de Norteamérica, los medios presentan una imagen de Chávez como un dictador. Entonces,
what was the second part of the question?
Yeah, as a dictator and authoritarian, and we want to know how does this characterization actually match up with their experiences?
Y cómo ustedes ven que esa caracterización cómo cuadran usted en su experiencia como venezolanos viviendo en la parroquia, qué dirían ustedes de ese tipo, de esa manera de ver al presidente Chávez y la situación en Venezuela?
Bueno, todavía muchos medios de comunicación,
many of the media,
pertenecen a la ultraderecha.
They're still part of the ultra right.
Fascista y racista.
Fascist and racist. Ultra right.
Y ellos son los que están haciendo campaña totalmente negativa hacia la política del presidente Chávez y el progreso que ha tenido el país.
And they've been undertaking a campaign against the President Chávez and against the progress that's been made in the country.
Nosotros, la mayoría de los grupos de hip hop en Venezuela,
the majority of us, the hip hop groups in Venezuela,
y la colectividad, o sea, los sectores populares,
and the collective, that is the popular sectors,
hemos, gracias al presidente Chávez, hemos despertado gran parte de la conciencia.
we have been able to awaken a significant part of the consciousness, of the collective consciousness.
El cual nosotros, la verdad, ya no la estamos buscando por un solo camino, que era el camino que siempre nos querían guiar los medios de comunicación fascista.
¿Y cómo digo o no?
Que ya nosotros empezamos a ver distintas verdades.
So now we end up seeing different realities.
Que son distintas a las que los medios de comunicación fascista no han querido enseñar.
That are very different from those which the fascist media have been trying to teach us.
La que siempre nos han enseñado ha sido un mundo de consumismo, materialismo.
Like they've always been trying to teach us a world of materialism and consumerism.
El cual solamente allá demuestran las caras de la gente ricas.
And like there they only show the faces of the people that are rich.
Pero nosotros utilizamos el hip hop como medio de comunicación.
So we utilize hip hop as a medium of communication.
Para demostrarle que existen necesidades y otras realidades.
To demonstrate that there are necessities and other realities.
All right, just before we go on, I want to also just remind our listeners to call in and make a donation. This radio programming, this radio station is only made possible by our funders, by our listeners, who are our only funders. 416-736-5656. I'd also like to direct that question towards somebody who's actively organizing in the movement. Layo Gasquez, who is with Sin Techos, the Homelessness People's Movement. I was wondering if you can also respond to what your experience has been as an organizer on the ground mobilizing the people. What's been your experience under the Chavez government for the last 10 years?
Okay, pregunta también tu respuesta a esa misma pregunta como organizador bajo de los sin techo. ¿Cuál ha sido tu experiencia bajo del gobierno de Hugo Chávez?
Bueno, la experiencia ha sido muy importante.
The experience has been very important.
Gracias a este gobierno revolucionario.
Thanks to this revolutionary government.
Hemos podido lograr y alcanzar muchas metas que en otros gobiernos fueron negadas y, por supuesto, apartadas pues de todo el beneficio que tenía que tener el pueblo venezolano.
Thanks to this government, we've been able to achieve many things which were negated and denied to the people under previous governments.
Nosotros hemos podido lograr varias misiones como la misión Milagro, la misión Barrio Adentro, la misión Robinson. Misión Milagro es para la gente que no veía, que ahora puede ver, que tiene su fiebre de catarata y pterigio, ahora pueden ver para poder leer y escribir.
So we've achieved things like Barrio Adentro, which is the health program that goes, they've opened up community clinics in most popular neighborhoods in all Venezuela. Misión Robinson, which is an educational mission dedicated towards giving adults the opportunity to achieve their primary education. Misión Rivas. Mencionaste Misión Rivas, too. Misión Rivas, which is for secondary school, and also he mentioned Misión Milagro, which is a program which provides free surgery for people with cataracts and other visual problems that they're able to read and educate themselves.
Todos estos logros han sido precisamente construidos por el pueblo venezolano, de la mano con el gobierno revolucionario humanista del presidente Hugo Chávez, y este lazo, esta unión que ha habido con este gobierno no se había dado nunca en los gobiernos anteriores. Simplemente habíamos sido víctimas de toda la corrupción y de todo ese aparato capitalista neoliberal que está acabando con algunos pueblos del mundo.
So all of these things, to sum up, all of these things have been achieved by the Venezuelan people working with the revolutionary humanist government of Hugo Chávez, and in contrast, fighting against the previous methodologies and mentalities of the previous capitalist governments and their counterparts, which are destroying many people around the world.
Hmm. We're going to be coming back with our Venezuelan guests here, Barrio Nuevo, Sin Techos, Familia Negra. We're going to go to a song. Let's just remind our listeners that this is Waves You Crave Week on CHRY 105.5. We at the radio station here are aiming to raise over $100,000 to keep this radio station going. So please call in, make your donation, make your impact felt. It's 416-736-5656. That's 416-736-5656. We'll be back in a minute. This is a track by Familia Negra.
Ya tú sabes cómo es Bla, ya tú sabes cómo es el Liche. Vamos a hacerlo de cora, esta vez vamos a hacerlo pa' mi gente, pa' mi pueblo, pa' mi gueto. Ya tú ves, vamos a pinchar esta vaina. Venga, cuando quiera, man, you know.
Yo, hablando de los análisis, es nuevamente Black Seven, representante del hip hop. Estilo gangsta, flow, yo. Estilo gangsta, nadie en flow, no maniga dice.
My call of black, niggas true.
Connection, yo. Familia black, this reflection. In the way, en el camino, it's no computation. Complication, mi música es estilo negro y en la calle, el llamado AKA. Black Seven, bro, gangsta. En el micrófono, astro de estilo gangsta. Sabio, rapero, venezolano, lento y seguro. Ese es mi estilo, y en los barrios, el puro rudo, un poco duro, sincero. Yo nunca he sido un fanfarrón grosero, represento strip, yo. Aja, flap, tú estás, ya. Unificando lo que hay, ya. Yo, no woman, no I cry, it's good for my good. For my heart, dice la CI. Dice, nigga, pasa, that's me, flow. Pasa, blank, huh, seven on the microphone. Haciendo los loads, me represent the MC. Ya sabes cómo es eso, nigga, please, spit.
Basta ya de caca. Wow. Y diablo el paja, yeah. Ayandori aja, reventando las cadenas su tarraja. Okay. Vuelvan a su cueva sucia rata, escupiendo flow. Wow. Que ella sale de mi boca, que te explota. Say. Ese pico, este dicho va contigo.
Say, al pan, pan y al vino, vino.
Entiendan lo que digo, que en las noches cuando duermes en tu dormitorio, yo me encuentro escribiendo mierda en mi laboratorio.
Para seguir en mi negro territorio.
Es un gueto monopolio.
Lleno de envidia y de odio.
Yo, dime lo que sientes, dime lo que sientes cuando mi mensaje ya te llega al subconsciente.
Así
es. Nigga, maniga, e impaciente, ¿entiendes? Yo,
hip hop de barrio. Yeah, Black Family, yo. Ladies are chill, yo.
Agradecimiento a todos los que están en Black is true. Nigga represent. Nigga send a house, is my motherfucking way.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. My color black is strong. Pasa mi flow, flow completo, yeah. ¿Entiendes? Intelecto, maestría a la hora de escribir las líricas. No hacen falta química. Mis creaciones son explícitas. Poético en la calle del barrio y en los guetos de La Vega. Familia fabrica por diario. Perfecto especialista, creador de estilo. Confrontando con la espesa masa hip hop. En esencia, peso pesado es dance. Acá representativo es black flow, negro fuerte. Literario lírico, texto narrativo explícito, superación del manto sagrado, Ras Hip Hop Tafari, ideología de la gran escuela, sanguínea, negra familia.
My color blast is strong, contraataca con su son, el eres
joven, lean, no lo barbón, se con el don, D-Space, y yo es Black Seven,
aja nigga, enter brand,
pueda, feel me, my family, one stage,
open. Welcome back to Radio Basics on CHRY 105.5. We're here during the fundraising show, CHRY Fundraising Waves You Crave. So please call in 416-736-5656 to make your pledge to Radio Basics. On the evening of August 9th, 2008, Montreal police murdered Freddy Villanueva, an 18-year-old unarmed Latino youth in the poor, oppressed, and predominantly Black, Arab, and Latino neighborhood of Montreal North. According to witnesses, Freddie and a group of seven friends were playing dice when they were confronted by police, who went on to brutalize, search, and handcuff Freddie's brother. When approached by the rest of the youth, one of the cops fired four shots without warning, killing Freddie and wounding two others. This is only the latest in 43 killings by the Montreal police force over the last 21 years. Last October, Kilem Registra, a 39-year-old Black man, was brutally killed by being tasered six times by police. And just 2 weeks ago, in the same Montreal North hood Freddie was murdered in, an Arab man was shot and wounded by police during an attempted arrest. Montreal cops have never been held accountable for their actions. And in Freddie's case, the Provincial Police of Quebec, another force known for its violence against demonstrators and Indigenous movements, was the ones that were called in to investigate. This violence, brutality, and impunity of the Montreal Police Force is no different than that of the Toronto Police Force that has killed 31 people since 2003 alone, with no cop ever having to serve a jail sentence. What was different about the murder of Freddie, however, was the way the people of Montreal immediately resisted the attack on their community. 2 days after the murder of Freddie, the youth of Montreal rebelled, burning blockades and fighting with police in the street, with 35 later arrested. Out of this revolt and the anger towards police and state violence, a number of groups organized to defend and give voice to the community. One of those organizations, Montreal North Republic, has mobilized to bring together the neighborhood along with all the population of Montreal in order to denounce police repression as well as economic, social, cultural, and political oppression. They also led up a mass protest this past weekend of over 500 people demanding justice for Freddie at the site that he was murdered. Joining me on the line from Montreal today to discuss the movement erupting in Montreal to get justice for victims of police terror as well as social and economic justice in general is Will Prosper, spokesperson for Montreal North Republic. Hey, Will, and thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So to begin, can you give listeners in Toronto, a city that's facing a lot of the same issues we see happening in Montreal, can you give us a background to Montreal North Republic, how it was formed and what specific demands it's making of the city of Montreal and the Canadian state?
Well, Montreal North Republic was formed a couple of days after the riot in Montreal North. I was glad that there was a riot in Montreal North because it shows me that the youth are awake, they're not sleeping, because there's a lot of injustice, especially in Montreal North. Like you said, Montreal North, there's about 25% population that is black, and also there's a lot of Arabic also, and Latinos and Italian. And they faced every day harassment from the police force because there was a new squad that was formed in Montreal, which they have been given $18 million, and the police squad is called Eclipse, and they're supposed to diminish the gang problems. But the problem is that for them, gang members, they're black, and everybody that look like a gang members or are black or Latino or are dressed like with a hip-hop style, they will be arrested for no reason. They will be given tickets. They will be arrested, just like this incident for Freddie Villanueva. And that's what happened. The kids were playing dice in the park, peacefully in the park. They were playing dice, and the police officer came to arrest them to give them a ticket for playing for money.
Mm.
So that shows you already that there's some harassment that has been conducted by the police force.
Definitely. And so what demands is Montreal North Republic making?
Well, the first demand that we made is the most important one, is that we don't want the police to investigate the police, because that doesn't make any sense. And just for an example, okay, there was three people that were shot in that incident of Freddie Villanueva. One was murdered and the two were injured. One was injured in the back, so he was running away, okay? And the other one was shot in the shoulder. But what happens with those two kids is that they never give a statement to the police officers that are conducting the investigation against the police officers. So which means if they don't have those two main witnesses' statement, the investigation is never be conducted correctly, because those two kids are afraid that their statement will be taken against them. And also one part of the investigation that was wrongly done by the police force is that they took 70 statements from everybody of the surrounding area. And a week and a half after, they took the statement from the two police officers that were involved in the incident. So that tells me that they tried to gather the information, and with that information, they tried to inform the two police officers of what they should be saying. So that's why we don't want the police to investigate another police officer. So that is the first request that we asked for. And the second request that we have made is that we want to put an end to racial profiling, because the Montreal police in the month of January has been recognized for doing some racial profiling by La Commission des droits de la personne, which is the Human Rights Commission. So they were recognized in 2008 of doing racial profiling. So we have to put an end to that. We have to have better services from our police force, because otherwise it's going to keep on coming and coming and coming. So we want to put an end to that. And the last demand that we made is that people have to understand, especially the politics, they have to understand, as long as there will be some economic insecurities, there will be some social insecurity. They go
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
So that is the last demand.
That's an excellent point, Will. This is Steve. I was also at the rally on Saturday that you guys had in Montreal North. It's interesting that one of your demands
is that the police don't investigate the police. I'm not sure if the people are aware in Quebec, but here in Ontario, we have an agency that's called the Special Investigations Unit, and it's pretends to be a civilian body that investigates the police in Ontario anytime they carry out excessive force, shoot somebody, or murder somebody. And recently, the Ombudsperson of Ontario came out with a scathing report indicating how biased the institution was, how it was pro-cop, how it was stacked with police officers. And mind you, you know, this is something that the movement here has been saying for years. And furthermore, the SIU itself, the Special Investigations Unit, was only a creation after major, major mass mobilizations of the West Indian community, the Jamaican community, in the 1980s here in Toronto. So if there's anything that I think community organizations here in Toronto, like the Justice for Aoi movement, the Justice for Jeffrey Ryotica movement, the all the movements against police brutality here in Toronto can probably share with our people in Montreal and in Quebec, is that we got to watch out for these governments try to pull the wool over our eyes, saying that they're coming up with some solution to investigate the police, some new civilian body. But we got to make sure whether that's really a civilian body or it's just another way for the police or the bureaucracy or some other way for the same people to be investigating themselves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I know about the police for the group that they created in Ontario, and that's not what we want, because we saw the result of that and we're not impressed with it, of course, as you guys are not impressed with it also. So what we have to do is that we have to form our own people, because they can go through the training of a police officer, but I don't want them to be a next retiree of a police force or anything like that, because you can see that they're not biased. Because they're not impartial, and that's the problem with it. We need somebody that is totally impartial, and that doesn't mind. It's not a friend that they're gonna try to investigate on. We need them to be the same way that the police officer treat the citizen when they investigate something. That's what we want. We want the same thing. And if it's not done correctly, well, we're gonna keep on putting pressure so we can have a correct investigation. Because it's not because you have a badge that it means that you're allowed to shoot somebody. You don't have a license to kill. So a lot of people do mistakes, and you know, like in Laval or in Montreal, near Montreal, there was a bridge that failed, and they pursued the engineers that built the bridge, and that was 40 years ago, and they tried to lay criminal charges. But with the police work, they never lay criminal charges. They always try to avoid. They say, they weren't right, they were defending themselves, or they had a reason for that. But people do mistakes, and we have to understand that. And as long as we don't put charges to the police officers, well, they're going to shoot people, and they don't care the result.
That's right. Right on, brother. I'm sorry, we're running out of time. We're going to have to let you go. Thank you so much for being with us, Will. Kabir, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. Just one question. Two quick questions, okay. just to follow up. Steve mentioned the protest, the mass protest that happened on Saturday. We also have here the Venezuelan delegation, Frente Bethune, who was also at those demonstrations. Can you talk a little bit about those that protest? How did the rally go? And like, what other actions or events is Republic and the coalition of organizations you're a part of planning out of it?
Well, for the rally that we had this weekend, it was a great rally because the police force, they tried to scare the population. They sent messages through the media. They were saying that there was going to be some riots. People were going to break some businesses and stuff like that. So they tried to use some scare tactics because they didn't want too many people to show up for the rally, because what we're protesting on, it's against the police force. So they serve themselves through the media to protect themselves instead of serving the population and protecting the citizen. So we try to gather as many people from different communities to show that it's not an isolated problem in Montreal. So that's why we had the Venezuelan group that came and performed for us, and they performed in front of Hugo Chavez. So we were really proud to have them, and we have a lot of people that mobilized from the exterior, because it's also a Latino kid that was shot, it was also an Asian kid that was shot, and it was also a black kid that was shot at that incident. So it was three different minorities that really composed the whole city. Yeah, three people were shot, and it's all different races.
Wow.
So that's why you had different communities that were gathered around for this.
And finally, Will, just as a last question, do you have any words for not only for the people, the youth in Toronto, racialized youth who are dealing with a lot of the same issues, poverty, police, terrorism, etc., as well as, you know, the organizers that are trying to start up different campaigns around the murder of Aoi, an 18-year-old Arab boy murdered by the Toronto police on Halloween of last year, almost a year ago today? as well as, you know, a number of other examples of police brutality in Toronto. Do you have any words for those organizers in terms of experiences from your work in Montreal?
Yeah, it's a lot of work, that's all I can say. But what's really important is that you have to organize and mobilize. So mm-hmm. these are the main things that you have to do, and that's everybody, because it's hard to gather. That's what we try to do. We organize and mobilize like 20 organizations, and next time it's going to be 50 organizations, and it's always going to be different, because the power belongs to the people and not to a few people that want to direct us. So it's very important. And also you have to understand, like Martin Luther King said, he said, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Well, that will prosper. Thanks a lot, man. Revolutionary regards, all power to the people. That's some good advice that we got to take here in Toronto. Just to remind our listeners, you know, all power to the people can't be a reality unless we unite, unless we come together. And right now we're doing a fundraising drive here on CHRY 105.5. So please call in 416-736-5656. Make a donation in the name of Radio Basics. It'd be much appreciated. It keeps our work going. We're going to a commercial. We'll be back in a moment.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. CHRY 105.5, Radio Basics. It is Waves You Crave Week here at CHRY, and we're looking for donations from our supporters, from our listeners. CHRY 105.5 is a listener-driven community campus radio station, and we cannot survive without the support of the people. So, you know, like our Venezuelan comrades here tonight have been telling us about the revolution in Venezuela, the people uniting, coming together to make change happen. This is what we got to keep doing here in Canada as well if we're going to make a difference. So please call in. The number is 416-736-5656. Call in, make a pledge to Radio Basics. It'd be much appreciated, and keep this work going. Now, we're coming back with Familia Negra. We got Aja, and we got Ricardo Scott. And we're going to be doing a little freestyle. And Pablo's going to be doing a little translation for me. So, actually, no, we don't need that. We're just going to go straight into freestyle.
Straight into freestyle, man. These guys know what they're doing.
Hey,
van a tirar un
freestyle,
no?
Oh,
sí.
All right, man. Let's drop it. Let's drop it.
Okay. ¿Cómo está Canadá? Toronto, Caracas, Venezuela, presente. Yo, my family association for America Latino. Ay, qué lindo. Tú sabes cómo es eso, you know? Con el respeto de todos los presentes, incursión acá un soldado negro. Uh-huh. Hip hopper cimarrón que representa sí. La familia negra del Cumbe, Quilombo, Ghetto, de la Vega autóctono. Oh. Crecimiento progresivo para el ser humano. Yes. Enlaces del pasado, presente, futuro. Uh-huh. Tesoro cultural del afroamericano.
Okay.
La misión difundir la riqueza cultural del pueblo venezolano a través de la folclórica historia
yes.
de nuestros antepasados. Siempre presente el principio de romper cadenas ideológicas de esclavitud. Este soldado negro yeah, de libre yeah. pensamiento abraza el sentimiento de unidad
say
entre
name,
los pueblos latinoamericanos.
Wait,
G Black Family. Maestro de ceremonia cuando cantas impresiona. Whoa. Tu público te aplaude cuando cantas en su zona.
Yes.
No le tira a nadie ni tampoco jala.
No.
Pa' que te suenen en la radio por payola.
Eonzi, underground, más de cultura. Cimarrón, verdadero de alma pura.
Damn,
aflójeme la cuerda que voy con soltura. Tengo más letras que un libro, lo demuestra mi escritura. Caballo estoya, presente hoy en día. Luchando y combatiendo con la fucking hegemonía. Dime, verdadero rap no vive en fantasía. Dime, verdadero rap no canta hipocresía. No, solo el legado una real ideología. Porque canto rap, no canto porquería. Esta vaina lo digo el corazón, my color, black nigga dice, es wrong, peso pesado del puro, del bueno, yo canto pa' mi pueblo, yo canto pa' mi ghetto, vacilo con Waze, Q Craze, familia negra, haciéndole el corazón, ya tú ves.
Maestro es ceremonia cuando cantas impresiona,
oh.
Tu público te aplaude cuando cantas en tu zona,
yes.
No le tira a nadie ni tampoco jala,
oh,
pa'
sí.
que le suenen en la radio por payola,
freestyle.
Aquí estoy yo, tú sabes, en Toronto, vacilando así, claro que sí, revolucionario. Que se interna dentro de ti para cambiar, para transformar esta sociedad.
Para transformar esta sociedad lo hago con claridad. Familia Negra está aquí en el hip hop desde Montreal, haciéndolo así en este con mi bombo. Sabe que yo estoy aquí hoy en Toronto.
Oye, en Toronto estoy con los sin techo, con el frente no man betún. Claro que sí, esto es actitud poética de las calles de Caracas, de la Vega. Así lo hago,
Yo, así lo hago yo cuando me sueltan el beat. Por eso estoy junto a mi pana.
Steam. Para que entienda, yo lo hago sin tener enemigo. Familia negra, esa sí, familia negra, oh sí.
Maestro de ceremonia, cuando cantas impresiona. Tu público te aplaude cuando cantas en tu zona.
Yes.
No le tira a nadie ni tampoco jala.
No.
Pa' que te suenen en la radio por payola.
Me suenan en la radio por payola.
No.
Sabes que yo aquí, yo no me monto en una yola. Dime cómo esto, yo no quiero la payola. Sabes que yo a ti, yo te digo esto es hola. ¿Cómo están? How are you today? Fine, thank you. Sabes que esto lo hago con actitud. Para que entiendas, esto es Rhythm and Blue. María, oye, oye,
my
sí.
My friend Nicolás.
Yes, yes, familia
sí.
Negra.
Yes,
popping
yes,
up
yo.
Here in CHRY 105.5. Giving everybody big ups. Wave Ukraine, Frente Norman Bethune, Toronto, Montreal. Let's give it a round of applause for these boys. Yeah.
Yes,
familia
yes,
Negra.
Oh, so, sí.
These guys are big in Caracas and Venezuela. They performed, you know, alongside Hugo Chavez, the revolutionary leader in Venezuela. These boys are big. So, just to go out, we have a few minutes left tonight. What we want to talk about before we go out was the recent elections that we had in Canada. We're going to have a little translation going on. One of the questions I want to pose to Familia Negra, one of the questions I want to pose to Layo Gasquez was, you've been here for almost 2 weeks now, and we want to understand what your impressions were of the Canadian elections.
¿Cuáles son tus impresiones de las elecciones en Canadá, de lo que has estado aquí en la última semana?
Bueno, ayer estuve en un centro de votación. Ayer estuve en un centro de votación donde pude apreciar un poco la asistencia de la gente en la votación. Me di cuenta que el voto es manual. En nuestro país no, el voto no es manual. El voto se hace de manera digital con una máquina, con un sistema computarizado que es por medio de tu dedo, por tu huella dactilar. Y aquí, por ejemplo, no permitían que hubiera cámaras de video ni cámaras fotográficas en el espacio donde la gente vota. Me pareció algo bien difícil, bien extraño, porque a nosotros en Venezuela todo el tiempo nos piden ver si es
So, okay, basically, what I've seen in the elections yesterday is the main difference is that it's a manual vote. In Venezuela, we use a machine, it's a computerized system, and we're expected to have our fingerprint, right, to verify that it's all a transparent procedure. And instead, here, it's a manual vote, and there is no cameras where the voting takes place. So, that's one of the main differences I've noticed.
Now, what about the participation of the people in the elections? Now, these elections in Canada were the lowest voter turnout in Canada's history. And this is in line with a long trend of decreasing voter turnout in Canada. People in Canada are not coming out to vote by lesser and lesser margins every year. How does that differ from what's happening in Venezuela?
Cada vez la gente vota menos y menos. ¿Qué se diferencia eso de la manera como se dan las cosas en Venezuela?
Bueno, en Venezuela las cosas son muy diferentes. Por ejemplo, ayer, terminando un poco, no sé si en la traducción lo apuntaste, pero, por ejemplo, a nosotros en Venezuela hay, bueno, una gran cantidad de observadores internacionales para verificar si nosotros nuestras elecciones son limpias, si Chávez no está manipulando las elecciones, etcétera, ¿no? Y me di cuenta que aquí ayer, por ejemplo, no había ningún observador internacional. O sea, como justificando que, bueno, que aquí las elecciones son sumamente limpias. También me di cuenta, por ejemplo, lo de la abstención tan grande que existe aquí para la votación. Y en nuestro país es muy diferente. En nuestro país hay una tradición de para votar. Mucha gente sabe que el poder, la gente pobre, la gente que se está levantando, la gente que está generando conciencia en Venezuela, que está levantando su conciencia gracias a este proceso de cambio, sabe que el poder lo tiene cuando vota, ¿me entiende? Cuando decide, cuando él vota participa, cuando él vota decide, cuando él votando sabe quién lo está haciendo bien y quién no lo está haciendo bien, hasta ahí, ¿entiende?
Okay, so a couple of the differences I've seen is that, for example, there is, when in Venezuela, it's very different. We have a lot of international observers to make sure that the government is not manipulating the results of the elections. There's no Nobody observing here. And another thing is that the abstention levels are very high. From what you're saying, Steve, it's true. There's very few people, and that's not the case in Venezuela. There's a great tradition in Venezuela. There's a great awareness of the importance of voting. People understand that they decide by voting. People understand that how much power there is in the voting, and they do it consciously when they go, or at least most people do.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there for the night. If everybody can just give an outro, say your name, say where you're from, say goodbye to our listeners here in Toronto.
Okay, bueno, mi nombre es Ricardo Scott de La Vega.
Yo, mi nombre es Alberto Antonio, directamente de La Vega, Caracas City, represent. No, Zane.